Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My favorite time of the week for the next half an hour to an hour to an hour and a half. I'm going to fill your mind with hopefully new perspective. Today, we're really going to come off the deep end. We're going to get into a concept called medical astrology and the yugas. That's spelled Y-U-G-A-S, yugas. Yugas are earth cycles that go on for about 24,000 years. And yes, it's a perspective outside of our Western perspective of how the earth evolved, but it can be very relevant in terms of how you see your health and your world. And of course, astrology, which really this isn't about today, it's about medical astrology. You know, Scorpio, Capricorn, these sorts of things. And do they have, which is partly a question, relevance to how you see your health? Now, what you didn't know is that the Catholics and the Protestants in the European Christian tradition, Catholic Christian tradition, were all medical astrologers, the most famous of which is a guy whose name you have heard uttered throughout the centuries, Philippus Aurelius Theophrastus Bombastus von Hohenheim, otherwise known as Paracelsus. Paracelsus was Swiss. He was born Paracelsus, Theophrastus, Bombastus, von Hohenheim, was born in 1493 in a little plot of land, actually a fairly large plot of land, in a fairy tale community somewhere up in the Alps of Switzerland. His dad was a physician. His mom was a mom. Einsiedeln, I don't even think I can fully pronounce it. Einsiedeln, Switzerland, September 24th, 1541. In Salzburg, Austria, just on the border to Switzerland. Borders change over the centuries. At any rate, Paracelsus, unlike his dad, was more than a doctor. He's what you would call an alchemist. Is a woman, Yolanda Jacobi, J-A-C-O-B-H. She's a psychoanalyst. She does an incredible biography of Paracelsus. I put it on the website. Great book. History of medicine is absolutely fascinating. And it recalls a time when the top minds, and Paracelsus was undisputedly one of the great minds, thus his legacy. The great minds of the day were not just physicians, they would have termed themselves alchemists, meaning they used things that you couldn't necessarily see, like under a microscope, which they didn't even have back then. They used things you couldn't necessarily see to create their version of what you needed to do for your health. And believe me, if you were sick back then in Europe, you should and would have gone to Paracelsus. You couldn't have done better. This is a guy that was so legion, so brilliant, that he just medical school hopped. You know, 1541, to be born then is to be born, born 1493. My apologies. 1 year after Columbus discovered America, Paracelsus is born. And we're entering the Renaissance period, or the Enlightened Age of Europe. That's questionable. That it was an enlightened age is only relative to what we call the European Dark Ages. Paracelsus is born on the brink. 100 years later, the Italian Renaissance would occur. Well, actually, it was occurring, but it would really blow out into something we were very cognizant of. So this guy was esteemed. He was also a maverick. He was a rebel. He was outspoken. I cite the name, Philippus Aurelius Theophrastus Bombastus von Hohenheim, as in bombastic. Everywhere Paracelsus went, he got thrown out. He'd walk into a conference, he'd take it over, he'd fascinate people, he'd stun them, he'd hold them spellbound with the diversity and depth of his knowledge, and then he would insult somebody, whether it was the entire institution or some medical head in the crowd, and then they'd want to kill him, and back then they often tried and would otherwise just throw you out, and he'd have to run out. Kind of sounds almost like what some factions of our political system today are doing. Bottom line is, this guy, Bombastus, and the word bombastic, they share the same root. But he was brilliant. And he was an alchemist, which meant he used things outside what you could see, one of which was the astrology. Now, maybe you don't know this, but the ancient Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, the Vedics, many of the Asians, the South Americans were all looking up at the stars and passing judgment about how the stars affected people. This is a big deal. This is something you want to get hip to. Of course, this is not something you want to get owned by. If you get into astrology in this perspective, for medical reasons, to garner what you can learn about your health, well, what you've got to make sure is you don't get owned by it, owned, enslaved to it. And that's what, unfortunately, a certain segment of the population does. And of course, this is ludicrous to us. Gurdjieff, whose name I've mentioned, In Search of the Miraculous, my last show, Gurdjieff used to say, to be enslaved by astrology is to be food for the moon. I love that. Any of you police officers out there in the crowd, any of you firemen, any of you ER nurses going to tell me that during the full moon, the lunar cycle, there aren't more acts of lunacy? And anybody want to dispute that? Years ago in New York, I spent a lot of good time tending bar, and when the full moon is out, duck. Now, we know these things to be true. How we're going to contend that there's something up there in the stars, the planets, that isn't affecting the way we behave? I think to deny that is lunacy. Well, let's just take a small leap then to astrology. Thus the reason Paracelsus, Avicenna, all the great minds of medicine in years past looked to the astrological. Keeping in mind, as I said, Gurdjieff's caution. Don't become food for the moon. Enough said on that. Just want to clarify our chess game here. All right, so Paracelsus is into medical astrology. What does that mean? Hopefully you're on the website. You need the website today for the pictures. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. If you're driving, welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Listen, get home. If this show turns you on, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, show 373. That's across 6 years. Got lots of great pictures. Picture number 9 talks about Aries, you know, the sign Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, as a fire sign. And then they talk about Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio. You've heard of this as a water sign. Then they talk about Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn as an earth sign, and Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra as an air sign. Now, that's what's interesting. Because herbs, and I cite an incredible book, anybody into the herb thing needs to get the 2 volumes written by a guy named Peter Holmes. That's Peter Holmes, The Energetics of Western Herbs. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant author. Brilliant two-volume set. Breaks down herbs and then analyzes herbology through different medical systems, Ayurvedic, Chinese, the Western systems, the ancient European systems, the Greek systems, the Roman systems. Look, everybody's been into plants from the beginning of time. And everyone had a different way of looking at it. And rather than just ascribe to the Chinese system, comes Peter Holmes, who's made his entire life about this. I love the herbs and herbal systems in their indigenous forms. My criticism is we've extrapolated, as is typical in America, outside of the indigenous herbal botanical systems. We've extrapolated out of it to, well, let's just advertise them all over the radio and just dummy it on down to something that everyone can understand easily on their way to Starbucks in the morning. This may have some benefit, but it obscures the deep, rich meaning of the sacred herb. I bring this up because in his book, the two-volume set, Holmes, as does everybody, attaches the herb to fire or water or earth or air. Now, this is going to be very relevant to how you use herbs and to how you understand your health. So when are you born? Well, I'm born on January 15th. Won't tell you the year. There is no year. I have no birthday. January 15th is when I'm born. I'm called a Capricorn. Now, Capricorn is my sun sign. And Capricorns have traits. I have the traits of a Capricorn. Much of the way I present myself on air is related to the fact that I'm a Capricorn. If you look up Capricorn and look at the traits, good traits and bad traits, that's what'll come across on the radio. It'll come across in my seminars. It'll come across in my life. It'll come across when I order a slice of pizza in Manhattan, in Greenwich Village, soon to be. But my rising sign, my ascendant sign, and I realize some of you know this, some of you don't. None of you really have an understanding of how to tie this into your health. That's the medical astrology. That's big. My ascendant sign is Taurus. That's the bull. Both of those signs, Taurus and Capricorn, are earth. That means I have a lot of earth energy. That's what some people like about me. I'm like a rock. In fact, I look like a rock. If you've never seen me, rock is a good way to describe me. I talk like a rock. If I conk you over the noggin, you'll feel like you got hit by a rock. Some have said that. At any rate, I have a lot of earth, rock, ground in me. And then my moon. So the astrology gives you a sun, a rising, and a moon. And I'll stop there. It's much more involved than that. But this is a good base for you to utilize in your life in a practical way. And do not worry about being enslaved to something occult. Yeah, there are occult artists in astrology. This has nothing to do with me and nothing to do with you. This has more to do with medical astrology and Paracelsus. My moon sign is Sagittarius. Sagittarius is a fire sign, and any of you that know me know that there's a streak or two of fire in me. So if I was all earth, maybe I'd talk like that and I'd be very grounding and nurturing and all these things. But I would never start to get like that. That's my fire. There's a certain point where too much earth makes me insane. Now, if you put me around air signs, Aquarius, people with Aquarius, particularly if their moons are in Aquarius, and if their sun and ascendants are in Cancer, I actually hallucinate around them. I go to a whole other dimension. because my earth and fire, if you give me air and water, that balances me out beautifully. Now, that's not just about getting along in life. That's about my health. Do you know what earth and water make? Mud. I hate humidity. I hate it. Growing up in New York City, I loathed humidity. I loved the month of May and June. That's it. If New York could have been May and June, I never would have left. Like Paracelsus, I was thrown out of New York City for my assault on the classic medical model. No, I'm just kidding. But I left New York very discontent with the weather. I didn't know how much I disliked it, but I couldn't stand the weather in the Northeast. One big reason was humidity. The other big reason is I have a lot of what you call kidney energy in me. Do you know what organ associates to Capricorn? The kidney. Do you know what other part of the body associates to Capricorn? The teeth and bones. I don't have a lot of regrets in my life. I really do not. I like the choices I've made for the most part. But man, if I could have changed one thing, I would have taken much better care of my teeth. And my teeth are pretty good, thank God. But I didn't start really fixing them, thanks to some colleagues, into my early 40s, late 30s. I wish I had started day one. Now, my brother and sister never had issues with their teeth. They didn't give their teeth much more concern than I did. That's the thing, and this is what I want to give to you. Using the medical astrology is just another classification system like the doshas, like the Chinese systems, like your blood type. That's the context in which I urge you to listen to this show more intently than ever. And if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I run a health office in Costa Mesa for people interested in the inside track. That is what I give you, the inside track, which is the hard way, the real way. It's what you want to know. It's not the shortcut. It's not the quick fix. It's not the miracle. It's not, unfortunately, the way I think we've sort of betrayed ourselves in holistic medicine by making you think that a 30, 40-year chronic illness just resolves in a few months because of some brilliant doctor or some miracle potion. How you can turn the level of your health into something radiant by trying everybody's herbal formulas and closing your eyes and wishing it. No, the miracle is in the knowledge. Thus my show. So I've got Taurus as an ascendant, Capricorn as a sun, and then Sag as a moon. That means I'm double earth fire. That means I need water and air and the people I gravitate to. The things that make me feel better, like for me, hot, dry weather. Hot, dry weather. I thrive in hot, dry weather. Like, I don't like the humidity right now. I want it to drop to about 30, 40% humidity. I want the temperature to go up about 5, 7 degrees. If the temperature drops to 70 degrees, I don't feel good. I don't like the summers in Oregon. They're beautiful. The Oregon summers are wonderful. Washington State, Northern California. For me, too cold. I like it up at about 80, 85, hot and dry. That balances my, I could say doshas, I'll say it balances my astrology. Now, your sun sign is who you really are. I am a Capricorn. Your rising sign is how you appear to others. I appear a little bullish. And occasionally people get annoyed by that. Oh, rah, 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 just too much. Too strong. Too emphatic. Between my Taurus rising and my Sag moon, which is fire, Well, I just might rub you the wrong way. Not bad, in a sense, for what I've attached myself to. A medical maverick, in a sense. But I have to be aware that I can come across that way when I'm not really that way. And people that really know me, my staff say, etc., they know I'm not really that way. But that's my rising. So the rising sign, and I delineate this more on the show, there's on the website. We've got squares there explaining what the rising sign means. Me as Taurus rising means, even though I'm not, I appear bullish. Your moon, which for me is Sagittarius, is how you process your emotions. So your moon sign is how you process your emotions. And mine is Sagittarius, which is fire, which means I'll have strong emotions. I'll be passionate. I'll be enthusiastic. I'll be temperamental. The context in which I experience anger, grief, sadness, fear is strong. And it'll come through me passionately. And that's how you apply your moon to your astrology. Now, let's apply it to health. And of course, this is what the medical astrologers did and do. And they still do. But we don't have them now. We don't have Roman astrologers. We don't have herbalists that use the Roman and Greek and ancient Middle Eastern systems. These were extremely sophisticated systems. If you study, if you were hanging with Galen or Hippocrates and asking them to put together a brew of herbs, a poultice, or something in wine, or some liquid concoction, some fermented thing, you were in great hands. It wasn't just the Chinese system or the Ayurvedic system. All cultures knew what they were doing. South American herbalists, they know their stuff. African herbalists, the continent of Africa, depending on where you go, they know their stuff. Everyone used nature, and everybody had an etheric concept. Science. Western science destroyed the ethers. And I harp on this all the time. Galileo, Giordano Bruno, these men were alchemists. They were devout Catholics, but alchemists who were forced to recant. And by the time Descartes, a while later, came down the pipe, he decided to cut a deal or have his head cut off. He basically said, to the ethers goes the church. I'm a man of science, a mathematician, etc., and forevermore the two shall part. Let me tell you something, that was good, but that was bad. Because medical astrology is relevant to you. For you to understand where to live on the basis of your ethers. Now let me give you some extreme examples here. One extreme example is this. Let's just say you are a Libra, which is an air sign, but your rising and moon are Gemini. Now you're triple air. If you're a triple air sign and you're born as a Vata, now, so I'm going to cross-reference now. Vatas are the slender, small-bone types. They've got the lighter voices. James Earl Jones was not a Vata. He was a Kapha. Paul Robeson was a Kapha. Screaming Jay Hawkins was a Pitta Kapha. People with deep voices. Adele, the singer, Adele, Grammy Award winning singer, Adele. Adele is not a Vata. Adele is a Kapha. Vatas are slender, small boned, light. If you have a triple air sign that's a Vata, they have to be very, very careful. Because if they live, eat, and do things that build water and earth, they will turn to a ball of mucus. And they will get sick from being a ball of mucus. Now, if you're triple air and you decide to go live in the desert at a high altitude, you're going to die. You're going to get sick. So if honey's married to honey and she has four kids and she's a triple air sign and she's a Vata and her husband gets a job in Arizona and they need the money and they move to Scottsdale instead of staying in Phoenix, so they're now that are at altitude in a hot, dry area, and she's a triple Vata, and she's had four kids. Duck. Duck, my friends. What I would recommend to you is that you duck and pray for her, because she has put her body under a severe, debilitating influence. And she has to counter that. And there are things that she would do to counter that. Things that I can't tell you on today's show because we're almost out of time. And that is unfortunate. However, my solution to you, those of you listening on the radio right now, those of you listening in the car, those of you new to the show, get to the website within an hour. I'm going to post the latter half of the show and we're going to get into these subjects much more deeply. For those of you who cannot, for those of you who may not, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you liked the show and like the shows and listen, and you've got health concerns, and you just don't know what to do because you're confused, please call that number. Make the appointment. Come in. I will put you on the right track. And if you're open-minded, humble enough to listen, not afraid to do some work, we'll get your health to another level. That I promise you. God bless you. We'll see you in about an hour and a half. Ciao. Okay, let's continue. Love this stuff, don't you? The astrology. As I said, this has nothing to do with the occult. Some of you may misunderstand. Don't. Everyone uses these terminologies. Well, many people do. Has nothing to do with the occult, evil stuff that takes over your mind. Yeah, some people that get into this stuff, they become slaves to it. We're not talking about this. So what do you think of Paracelsus? That was a character. If you study his life, he got thrown out of everywhere. He was a rascal. He studied everything, went anywhere. There was nothing this man would not do for health. Nothing he would not do for health. Picture number two. Paracelsus. Poison is in everything. And no thing is without poison. The dosage makes it either a poison or a remedy. Yeah, what does that sound like? It sounds like life in moderation, does it not? Sounds like when you're supposed to gouge yourself with it, you should. Sounds like when you're supposed to abstain from it, you should. Sounds like Paracelsus is talking about being guided by something bigger than himself. Of course, that was the fundamental driving unit behind medicine back then. That's all gone today. Thus my show. Let's take a look at another picture. Picture number three. The doctor can have a stronger impact on the patient than any drug. Of course that's the case. Herbalists, without understanding this, of this are next to useless. An herbalist, a chiropractor, a naturopath, an acupuncturist that is not prepared to embrace that the doctor can have a stronger impact on the patient than any drug. Not to embrace this in the name of whatever you want to call it, professionalism, wisdom, discretion, is to be useless to your patient. You know why? Because everyone's looking for daddy. And everybody's looking for mommy. And where your mommy failed and your daddy failed collectively is why and where you got sick. Take that to the Rockefeller Institute, UCLA, USC. Take that to the Mayo Clinic. You're just looking for mommy and daddy. Of course, really, the translation is where your parents fail, and God bless them, they tried their best, right? If you're still angry at mommy and daddy, get over it. What do you think? You're different? Everyone gets their butt kicked. Some more than others, yes. And yes, we're human, a little anger. But bottom line is, you don't get over it, you die from it, and that's the tragedy for you. You know, those people in the street, the ones we pass by, the ones we think twice about before we give them a dollar or two, the ones we tend to stay away from, they just got broken, and we know that. And it starts at home. What Paracelsus is saying for those that he could have helped, that he tried to help, is that he had an awareness that his impact through relationship is stronger than any drug. Some of us need a loving parent. Some of us need some tough love. Some of us need a kick in the ass. Some of us need what we need. Some of us need to resurrect that relationship with the parent through the doctor. Well, doctor, teacher, priest, boss. This is the way people run around. They run around replaying their parents. Oh, wait a minute. Now it sounds like Sigmund Freud. Could Sigmund Freud and Paracelsus and Jung and psychoanalysis and Wilhelm Reich all be saying the same thing? Of course they are. But I'm not a shrink. I'm not interested in this conversation in the strict sense. I don't want to talk to you about your emotions and your parents. I don't want to be your parent. But I do have an awareness of this because that parental thing imbalances your autonomic nervous system. And that's what Cielé is saying, Hans himself. Hans Cielé, Stress of Life, a book I often and always quote. He's basically saying if you're imbalanced in the autonomics, meaning your sympathetic dominant, take all the herbs and flush them down the toilet bowl. Gee, where have you heard someone say that before? Hail to Paracelsus. Maniac that he was. Here's picture number 4. The art of healing comes from nature, not from the physician. Therefore, the physician must start from nature with an open mind. That's right. Healers are just parents in disguise, facilitating the relationship between the earth, the sky, and the sick client, sick patient, whatever you want to call it. That is what a healer does. He's a facilitator. Doctors heal nothing. Paracelsus is saying the healing comes from nature. He's just a belligerent facilitator. Picture 5. Who searches in the light of nature does not need books. Thank you, Paracelsus. Thank you. Thank you for freeing me up from 30 years of harsh academics and probably another 4 or 5 to go. Thank you, Paracelsus. Unfortunately for me, I can't get out of it. It's called destiny, something given to you if you do this kind of thing long enough. But my point to you and my point from him is that in the end, medicine, success, is not about some guy that reads a lot of books. Have you ever had that kind of doctor? Have you ever had that kind of social experience with someone who is influencing or competing with your version of reality? I mean, we kind of see this in the movies, right? I love those Clint Eastwood flicks where, you know, Harry, the Clint Eastwood series. You remember The Enforcer? Why can't I think of that series? The Clint Eastwood Magnum. Oh, why is that slipping my mind? Back in the day, 60s and 70s, when Clint Eastwood would play the detective, the cop, right? There'd always be this other cop that had come out of the department with a master's degree in criminology and knew all. And of course, Harry would look at him like, you idiot. And then they'd go out and, of course, the armchair cop would almost get his or her head blown off and Harry would have to save them. Doctors are like this too. They're all in their head. They have credentials. They read books. They think they know. They don't know squat. If you haven't tasted people's vomit and feces in the trenches, and I mean this literally, you don't know anything. If you haven't smelled your client, you don't know anything. There's nothing, and we all know this, right? Substitutes for clinical experience. Well, then why? I ask you, then why are people so impressed with credentials? They'll talk about their own life journey and their own profession as, look, I got 30 years of experience. That's why I'm the best lawyer, CPA, or teacher, right? Or police officer, or whatever. I got experience. And then they'll go running off to their local MD and go, now that guy, he's out of Harvard. He's got all these diplomas on his wall. He won all these awards. Don't you understand? Can't you apply it outside yourself? It's amazing to me. People do this all the time. Thank you, Paracelsus. All right. Look at Hippocrates. Now, there's another one. Why am I doing this? These guys were into the medical astrology. There's no such thing as not being into the astrology. There's no such thing. People that are closed-minded to the point where they don't want to look at it, that's ignorance. And people that become enslaved by it, they become food for the moon, are also ignorant. Or we could say innocent. Ignorant if they're arrogant. If they're not arrogant, just ignorant, they're innocent. It's really the way it is. Hippocrates, it is more important to know what sort of a person has a disease than to know what sort of disease a person has. Thank you, Hippocrates. Thank you. This is the myopia of our time. People running around, the people with the infections or the quasi-autoimmune diseases. But I'll just talk about the infections. People with infections. Really, it's so sad. 30 years they've been trying to find what this infection is or co-infection. And would you take a look at Dr. Medici, this recent lab test from this specialized lab somewhere in the middle of the Mediterranean, done by this MD PhD who was thrown out of Russia. And he's on this island and he knows what no one knows and he's got this specialty lab. And he's found a virus that could explain the 30 years of my incapacity. And the truth is, you just needed a good night of sleep. The truth is, you hate your life. The truth is, you haven't come to terms with your mommy-daddy crap. The truth is, well, just listen to 370 of my shows. The truth is, you're up a blind alley with a blindfold. You're out there in the middle of nowhere, going nowhere, sinking slowly. I know these types, but they're still looking for that parasite, that virus, that mycobacterium, that infection, and they're sure that homeopathic remedy brewed up by some wizard in Germany where they charge a lot of money for their homeopathic brew, or some herb that was picked from a mountainside at a certain time of day in a certain place where the herbalist, the picker, risked his life through enemy territory of communist-oriented places where people still eat other people. And they got that herb and they're going to give it to me for that special virus I have that the guy in the Greek island found or invented. Who knows? Sorry. Hippocrates is saying, take a look at who's got the illness. Because it'll tell you where the problem is. And don't focus on the diagnosis. Now, I say this within reason, and obviously, I say it somewhat tongue-in-cheek. You're going to get a better brand of cordyceps from a mountainside in Bhutan or Nepal or the northern Himalayas than you are down at your local GNC. So I'm tongue-in-cheek, yes. But you got to understand it the way Hippocrates meant it. Don't over-analyze diagnosis. Lots of people that are good at diagnosis, they stink at being a doctor. If you are triple earth because your sun rising and moon, and I'm not going to get into the planets and the rest of it. That's more complicated stuff. That starts to border on, you know, you really start dipping into this stuff, you may never come out. You got to be careful. But for the purposes of today, and for those of you who know nothing of this, or know, of course, about astrology, but don't apply it to your health, if you are triple fire, triple water, triple earth, triple air, double air, if you're double air fire, duck. There are lethal combinations. If you're double air fire, but you're a kapha, it might be okay to have a little weight, but not too much. If you're double air fire and you got a little extra poundage on there to kind of like muck up your air, but you're living in Holland at sea level, maybe you need to lose some weight. If you're living on a mountaintop, maybe you can eat 5,000 calories a day, 4,000, and you'll be okay. You see? You got to understand that what you want is balance. Really, power is a balance of water, fire, earth, and air. Thus, in Vedic medicine, if you're tri-doshic, if you're an equal blend of Vata, Pitta, Kapha, you live the longest, you last the longest, you're the best. However, you may have less talent in certain areas. Now that's an interesting one. That's interesting. Did you catch the subtlety there? Did you catch that subtlety? That's a subtle statement. Didn't even know I was going to tell you about that today. If you're tri-doshic, or if via your medical astrology you have a nice blend of fire, water, earth, or air, or if you're Vata, which is air, Pitta, which is fire, Kapha, which is earth, water, that's the best for your health. But you'll have less talent in certain areas. Then that's an interesting trade-off. Sometimes it takes heavy air to see the things and to experience the things that the air, triple air, is going to experience. A triple air Vata may see the world in a very unique way. To be the precious flower, whether you're triple air, triple fire, triple earth, triple water, to be a thoroughbred, not a hybrid, demands that you flow creatively, because you will not withstand creative force like that without having it fully expressed. If you do not express creatively and you're high fire, the fire will burn you, the water will drown you, the earth will muck you up, and the air will just dissolve you. You know, I'm so happy about this, I could end the show right now. I really could. Maybe I should. Have a lot to do today. So what I want you to do is get your birthday and go on a website called Astrolab. That's what you do. Just go on to Google and A-S-T-R-O-L-A-B-E as an elephant. Astrolab. And the first thing is Astrolab, the free horoscope. Just fill it in. Fill your name in, your gender, your birth date, and the time you were born. You can't get the ascendant unless you know the time you were born, your town or city, your country, and submit. And it'll give you a printout. It is so much fun to do that. It is so much fun to do that. You just go on in there to the Astrolab and get the printout, and you should take a look at that to see what your blends are, to know your blend, is then to get yourself healthy. So, you know, as I said to you today, I'm born on the 15th, and I know when I was born in terms of the time, and I know where I was born. I don't know who my parents were. They threw me out before I was, just, you know, that day. I was 2 years old. I was on my own by then. I didn't mind. I wanted to get out of the house at a younger age. And here we go here. Hang on 1 second. Bear with me, please. There you go. And that's how easy it is to do this. That is how easy it is to do this. And once you do it, you'll get your printout right away. And I am a pretty warped individual. That's what this comes up to for me. Particularly warped. The sun is in Capricorn. The rising's Taurus. The moon is in Sag. By the way, any of you listening to the show, spare me the comments along the lines of astrology is dangerous. I don't need to hear that. Just in case. A lot of people listen to this from everywhere. And the other thing is, don't send me suggestions about my own astrology. I'm kind enough to share a little bit of it with you. But I have so much Sagittarius, Scorpio, and Capricorn in my moons. It's ridiculous. Which means I was only meant to do one thing, and that's be a doctor. I mean, honestly, when you look at my signs, they make me very slanted for certain things. And, you know, this has been my experience in my life. There are a number of things I feel a proclivity to, like owning pizzerias. I say, if I ever get disgusted with all of this stuff too far, I'm just going to open a chain of pizzerias and get into that. And I almost did before medicine. Ultimately, I felt I'd get bored, but you never know. And I know I'd be great at that. I am not a dancer. I made a damn good prize fighter, a boxer, but I'm not quite a dancer. And I don't think I could be a comedian, and I'm definitely not a singer. I'm not a poet. I definitely am an organizational retard. Now, you see, I share this with you not to talk so much about me, but to explain. I've learned a lot from my astrology. Now, where I live, I got to be high and dry. So I live in Malibu. I live in Laguna. I live in Southwest. I don't like Chicago. I'm not too hot on the East. My next move out of the state of California, it's not going to be into a high humidity environment. If the Mediterranean weren't where it was, I'd love that terrain. I'm ready for the Greek islands. The islands in the Mediterranean. Just give me an island that nobody. I'm a Capricorn. I'm a goat. What do goats do? They hang out high up at the mountains. You ever see that great picture of the goat? The bunch of goats on the side of a cliff. And each cliff has maybe a ledge, and the ledge is really thin, and all these goats, these nanny goats, billy goats with the horns, are way up. I mean, one false move. You know, I relax when I do that. I relax up high. One of my last offices years ago was way high up in the mountains. I had a ball up there. I'd have clients every now and then that would drive up to the top of the mountain where the office was. And they wouldn't make it. They'd flip out on the way. They had a fear of heights. They thought they were going to fall off the cliff. You could blindfold me, literally blindfold me, and make my car drive at the edge, and it would just relax me. I'm a goat. But put me at sea level, I get nervous. I can't stand the feeling. I hate it. Like, for instance, in Laguna, when you get into town, you know where the volleyball courts are and they have all the different gatherings and parades and stuff. You know, downtown Laguna. Everybody goes there. There's a pretty sordid element there, too. A lot of people live on the benches. God bless the Laguna police. They keep that place clean. Otherwise, it would be more of a zoo than it is. But I get nervous there, not because of the people. I don't care about that. It's at sea level. I love the Laguna coast where there are rocks and some elevation. And I love the Malibu coast. And I love Big Sur. But you put me in Santa Barbara, again, it's that sea level thing. Oxnard is sea level. It makes me sick. If you were to put me in a house on the ocean, on like piers and stuff, I would die. I can't function. If you would put me there in humidity in the winter, that would be it. Get me, I take the pipe. It would be bad for me. I had an offer years ago to branch out in Chicago. Very lucrative, you know, million a year plus. Very lucrative scene for me up there. I would have been treated like a prince. You know, a medical thing. And I went up there two or three times in the summer. I knew I didn't want the winter. I was up there in the winter. Chicago in the winter. Not on my dime. But I went in the summer. I told the person, I can't do this. Humidity. Humidity, wind, cold, gray, not me. Can't do it. If you look at me as a double earth sign, I can't stand that. You put me in an environment where there's too much humidity, my earth turns to mud. I feel stagnant and lethargic. I need earth, fire, which is my constitution, the few other things I get from my moons, and then I need air and a little more fire, and then I need to be near the ocean to cool myself. And guess what? That's where my ancestry's from. Mountainous terrain overlooking the ocean. Thus, the anthropology. There's something called the astrocartography. Look that up. Do the astrolab. Get your reading. See if you're all earth or all water or all... And kind of like put this to your mind. Or go pay somebody. Go pay a medical astrologer. If you see me, I'm not a full-fledged medical astrologer, but I know enough about it so that if I'm talking to a triple air, triple water, triple earth, triple fire, and they're making some huge mistakes, I can get in there and correct them. Thanks be to me for whoever's asking me to help. Now, there's something called the astrocartography. That's a more professionalized insight into where you should live. And, of course, it's brother and sister to what? The medical astrology. Which is similar to the astronomy. And which is very connected to the anthropology. Think about it while you're listening to your next radio show about which herb to take. Next to astronomy, astrology, astrocartography, and anthropology. Think about mastering those four against fishing from radio show to 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 seminar to seminar to radio show to book to book to book to find out what the latest best cure is for your ailment. Think about that. I rest my case. Need I continue? Are you filled up? Let me take a peek here. Let me just take a peek. What did I do? I want to make sure we get into some of these other topics. You guys are on the website. The Yugas. I got to get to the Yugas. Y-U-G-A. If you're not into the Yugas, get into the Yugas. This is going to come down the pipe eventually. It is stated from the beginning of time. I'm sure this is even in the Old Testament. Definitely the Sumerians understood this. I don't know if it translated into the Old Testament, but the Sumerians knew this. The Vedics knew this. The Chinese knew this. The Egyptians and pre-Egyptians knew this. The South Americans definitely knew this, and that is star systems are what we call binary. It means that our sun, which is a star, right, has a sister star, which is what we know it to be, Sirius. S-I-R-I-U-S. Why so serious? No, not S-E-R. S-I-R-I-U-S. Our sun, and the solar system that it contains is revolving around another star in a 24,000-year cycle. Now, I know that creates commotion for a lot of people, but not me. Because I think our chronology needs some serious work. I think we were sold the Santa Claus version of the chronology of the Earth. I really do. The Sphinx did not go up in 2500 BC, nor did the Great Pyramid of Giza. That is a joke. I don't even want to get into it. Hang up the phone if you're going to find issue with what I'm saying. Yeah, go look up John Anthony West, Graham Hancock, Robert Bovall, David Childer Hatteras, and everybody else in that whole circuit. These men are scholars. They're guys who have regular jobs, who've done very well in their life, who are very level-headed. They're not wacko conspiratorialists from some toilet bowl derived from people who just didn't fit in. All these guys fit in, did well, made money, are good people, are moral people, but they just noticed there's some weird chronology to the things we were told. And it accounts to, well, there's no Santa Claus, sorry, and Easter Bunny. I'm sorry if I upset someone just now, but I think it's okay for me to say there may be no Santa Claus. Not that I enjoyed finding that out. I love old Saint Nick with the Christmas cards and all that stuff. It's wonderful stuff. I mean, I love it. I would never tell a child there's no Santa Claus. Let them figure it out like I did. I figured it out when I was 4. I was one of those kids. The way I figured it out, yes, I like to diverge. Your best lecture is always diverge. It's fun. I was 4, and I caught my mother planting an Easter egg under the couch or something. I saw her do it. It was Easter. And I went and I pulled it out, and I said, ah, you're the Easter Bunny. And then I looked at her, and I said, that means there's no Christmas. That's a true story. My mom, my beautiful mother. The Yugas, the Vedics, I'll cite the Vedics, but the Mayans did it too. What do you think that 2012 stuff was about? Look at the pictures. Okay, look at the pictures. Look at picture 21. Picture 21, you see our sun. It's not showing you the planets. We're just coming out of the Kali, K-A-L-I. It's a 1,200-year cycle. And we're entering the Dwapara. I hope I'm saying it right for you Vedic linguists. The Dwapara cycle. To be followed by the Trita cycle and the Satya cycle. And that cycle's 12,000 years. And that's half the cycle, and then the other half's another 12,000, and the whole full cycle's 24,000, and yada, yada, yada. But the point is, and this is what's fascinating, depending on where we are, we will move from when people are dumb, diddly dumb. I mean, dumb beyond dumb. Like dumb. All the way to everybody running around. Well, isn't Jesus, but they have a consciousness in that neighborhood. Meaning that where we are in the world society thing will move from the dark dumb ages all the way up to consciousness. Now, you see this play itself out in medicine. Why? Because here I am blabbing away every Saturday for 6 years and 19 years before that about energetics, about energy, about the autonomic nervous system, about meridians, about chi flow and prana. And then you have people who are locked into the Kali Yuga, which means you even intonate energy, etheric, ethers, and all this stuff. And they're just at a loss. They don't know what you're talking about. And we say everyone's different and people take time. And it's all true. It's all true. But those people aren't going to be around. They will be enlightened in another 1,000 years, in 2,000 years, in 3,000 years. And yes, yes, this accommodates lots of mass exterminations. For people into this sort of concept, the earth has recycled itself many times. Listen, I'm Christian. I declare Jesus is my God. That's just my karma. That's who I am. But you do not tell me that this earth has not recycled itself many times. Because it just has. Every now and then that crust burps and all this is gone. And yes, as is consistent with Revelation, we're going to be hitting some big humps fairly soon. All the signs are there. But in the bigger picture, you know, this is like you listen to George Carlin and this nonsense about, oh, it's the end of the earth and plastic and this is a crock. It's not the end of the earth. The earth is going to burp us like the non-entity little insects that we are, and just recycle it. And all this stuff, all this plastic and everything else and uranium and the rest of it that supposedly we can't decompose, the earth is going to eat it up and spit it out. And we will start anew once again. Only in the bigger sense. And is there anything bigger than what I just said? Yeah, there is. It's the yugas. What will regenerate? Is egg and sperm and life under the influence of another position relative to this elliptical orbit around Sirius, the twin star? And people will have a better consciousness. And this has been going on for a long, 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 long time. And I rest my case on that. We have to accommodate the fact that, I mean, you look at 1870, 1850, 1820, 17. I mean, relative to our perceptions of energetics and our comfort with the ethers. I mean, come on. Galileo imprisoned in the 1500s because he wants to make a claim that the earth is the center of the solar system, that the sun is the center of the solar system. Giordano Bruno beheaded. I mean, that's pretty dense. And that was the beginning of the Renaissance. Running around, throwing intuitive females, burning them at the stake as witches because they have spirit in their eyes. Instead of complete and total subservience and acceptance of mortal sin, and we burn them at the stake, that's hip and up. We've come a long way, thank God. Well, we've figured out new ways to destroy ourselves, But as I said, we're in our cycle, but we are not in the Middle Ages. Would you want to be a woman in the Middle Ages? I wouldn't. You got to factor that in to levels of consciousness. This really expands your worldview. Because really, it creates a perspective on how to use the astrology and the humors of the herbs. And it creates a perspective in terms of understanding. Well, understanding that you may be, understanding that you can see yourself as a blend of four temperaments or crosses. K-R-A-S-E-S. If you check Peter Holmes' book, get the book if you're interested in this, the two volumes. Brilliant, brilliant treatise. I love this kind of stuff. Get two books, The Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden. That's on The Sun and Sirius. And then get Peter Holmes' two volumes. If you really want to take up on this stuff, just fascinating stuff. But using the temperaments or the crosses, K-R-A-S-E-S, you can't even find a definition of that online. No one uses it. But the temperaments you can. Sanguine, choleric, melancholy, phlegmatic. Sanguine is air, and its qualities are hot and moist. Choleric is fire, hot and dry. Melancholy is earth, cold and dry. And phlegmatic is water, which is cold and moist. And you can understand herbs that way. Take hyssop. If you check Holmes's book, Hyssop, you know hyssop. Great herb. He calls it a mild remedy with minimal chronic toxicity, meaning you can't get sick with it, taking too much. It's got thujones and limonenes and pinenes and geraniols and borneols and boronal acetate and flavonoids in it and glycoside. And it has something called hyssopin, which is the glycoside specific to the hyssop plant. Saponins, it's got a little choline, malic acid. Then he says its effective qualities as a bitter pungent, a bitter and sweet, neutral, dry, stimulating, dispersing, restoring, relaxing herb that tends to focus in the lung. He calls this the tropisms, the lungs, the intestines, the circulation, the uterus, and the kidneys. It's a great lung tonic in clinical practice. And it's crace. K-R-A-S-I-S, it's crosses or crosses or whatever, is phlegmatic. It's got a cold, moist quality to it. So you take it to get rid of the hot, dry, choleric sort of invasion that begins with a sore throat and an upper respiratory, dry, raspy, painful chest cough. You see? And if you put together an herbal program for someone that's heavily phlegmatic, but you put too much cold, moist types of herbs like aloe, they may hate it. Whereas a hot, dry, choleric vata may live for it. And you go on and on and on like this. It's kind of common sense. It's kind of experience and common sense. I've been doing it for years. It's so much fun. And it's all part of the medical astrology. All right, folks, that's it for today. Hope you like the show. Get those books. Happy, happy. We will see you next week.
Okay. That's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.